You're listening to Trinity Fremont's Sermon Podcast, where you can hear God's Word preached each and every week. Our purpose at Trinity is to raise up Christ followers in our families and in our communities. We pray that as you listen to this week's sermon, you'll be encouraged and equipped to live out your faith in all that you do.
Well, heartburn is what we're going to be talking about. Heartburn. It makes me think of a couple classic commercials. You might remember this one.
I ate that whole thing.
You ate it, Ralph.
I can't believe I ate that whole thing.
No, Ralph, I ate it.
I can't believe I ate that whole thing.
And here comes the heartburn, right? If you ever had it, you want to get rid of it. So how do you get rid of it? How about some Alka-Seltzer?
Alka-Seltzer, plop, plop, fizz, fizz. Oh, what a relief it is. Plop, plop, fizz, fizz. Oh, what a relief it is.
Now, if you remember that commercial, you're really old. But it's what we do, don't we? We try to get rid of heartburn. But in our reading today from Luke, it's a different type of heartburn. It's a heartburn that two disciples, walking along a path to a town called Emmaus, never wanted to get rid of. A heartburn not from eating too much, a heartburn from wanting to eat more. You see, as Jesus walked along with them that day, the day he had been resurrected from the dead, he fed them. He fed them the words of eternal life. As you see in this famous 1877 painting by Swiss painter Robert Zund, they were walking in the presence of God himself, their risen Lord and Savior Jesus. They were on their way to town to Emmaus, about how many miles from Jerusalem? Who remembers? 7 miles, okay, 7 miles. And they were in the dumps. They were walking along and talking, heads down, very dismayed. Dismayed that he had been crucified. Dismayed that their hope was gone. But as they walked along the road, someone joined them. And this someone didn't reveal himself. This someone began illuminating something to them. This someone began enlightening things to them. Feeding them his word. Actually, feeding them himself in the beginning was the word. And the word was with God, and the word was God. And this word was manifested to save you. Made flesh to save you. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The Word was walking and talking with these two disciples, walking and talking on the very day that God resurrected Jesus from the dead to defeat sin and death and Satan forever. By raising the Word from the dead. This person walking along this with them was Jesus himself, and as he talked, they ate, and they devoured his word, and their hearts burned within them. And as they walked, Jesus illuminated the scriptures to them, reminded them clearly of God's plan to save his people. And as they walked, their hearts burned for more. As we mentioned, This weekend is Reformation. A time when a man named Martin Luther was enlightened by the same word that the two disciples on the way to Emmaus were enlightened. And you see, Luther was not always enlightened. Luther was a rule follower, just like the rest of the Catholic monks. Do this, do that. Say this, say that. Pray this, pray that. But something was always missing. And he too, just like the men on the way to Emmaus, became dejected. He was losing hope. But then, God illuminated the scriptures to Luther, revealed them like they had never been revealed before. And Luther got heartburn. A wonderful heartburn. Revealed by his presence in his word, revealed by his presence in his sacraments. It was when Jesus broke bread with the disciples in our reading, it was then that his glory, his presence was illuminated and revealed to them. We see this scene played out in this famous painting by an Italian painter, Caravaggio, in 1601. Take a look at the man sitting on the left. As Jesus reveals himself, look at his reaction. He's about to stand up and proclaim, "It's him, it's Jesus, he's alive." It seems he just might jump out of that chair and run all the way back to Jerusalem to tell everyone what he has seen. Who he has seen. That's what the Word of God does, my friends. It illuminates, it makes obvious God's salvation plan for you, and it creates a burning heart. It was made obvious to Luther too, very obvious, and very simple. Sola Scriptura, sola gratia, sola fide, solus Christus, soli Deo gloria. Scripture alone, grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone, to the glory of God alone. These doctrines revealed, illuminated in the book of Romans, is where Luther's heart started burning. And his response to church leaders who demanded that he retract the truth that was revealed to him, well, here's his response. Unless I am convinced by the testimony of the scriptures or by clear reason, I am bound by the scriptures that I have quoted, and my conscience is captive to the Word of God. I cannot and I will not retract anything, since it is neither safe nor right to go against conscience. And here is his famous line, "Here I stand, I can do no other, so help me God." Heartburn forever. The best heartburn forever. A heartburn that needed to be shared. People, all people, needed their hearts to burn from God's word. During the time he was kept safe in hiding from those who wanted to snuff out his life, Luther did something prolific. He translated the New Testament into the language of his people, which was German. Their hearts had never burned. They had never heard the Word of God in their language. The language of their people. So that their hearts could burn, and they did. Just like your hearts burn when God's Word penetrates your heart, maybe this morning. Maybe during one of those songs. Burn, burn, burn. How's that, Paul? Okay, not as good as you. But it's not easy today. You see, we tend to live in our own silos. In case you don't know what silos are, here's a picture. Those are silos from the state of Wisconsin. They look a little different than Nebraska silos. I was told a Bible class by Mike Lathrop is because they used to put silage for milk cows in those things. So they were different. What do we put in them? Corn. Usually corn. But they stand alone, don't they? Each silo stands alone. And it's what we tend to do today. Shared culture is hard to come by today. Shared culture is hard to come by today. Could it lead to shared faith being hard to come by too? I'm not sure. Possibly. Maybe even likely. We all have our own algorithms on our phones, don't you know? We really don't watch TV much together anymore. Remember when the TV was always on? I wonder how many times my dad say, "Does that TV have to always be on?" And it was. But the difference was we watched things together. Part of the culture. But we really don't even listen to the same music anymore, do we? We each find our own music and put it in our own playlist, and that's what we listen to. Drives my wife crazy. I got the dumbest playlist, and I listen to it all the time because I always forget how to put more songs in there. Very little culture. Now, Luther realized that the church in his day and in the centuries before him had created one big, massive silo for earthly power and control. But the language of the silo only the church leaders knew. That silo had to be challenged and revealed. Through God's word and only God's word, Luther revealed the truth. In some respects, we have gone backwards, blinded by our own silos, no longer the church's silo. Satan loves silos. It is time, brothers and sisters and friends, to be purposeful about creating more heartburn. The heartburn the disciples had. The heartburn that Luther experienced. The heartburn that only comes from one place, God's Word. But there seem to be so many obstacles today to God's Word. Starting with our phones. Likely even ending with our phones. Phones that create silos, a society that creates silos, Satan encouraging silos. It needs to be noted here, Luther never intended to spark the Reformation. He never intended to blow up the Catholic Church. He simply wanted to reform the church back to the heart-burning institution it was meant to be, instituted by the Word Himself, Jesus. You see, God's Word is not always comfortable, is it? But we human beings sure like to be comfortable. God's Word is meant to bring us out of our comfort zones, not create one. Comfortable silos. Was Abraham comfortable with his assignment? Were any of the prophets comfortable in their assignments? Or Moses? Do you think Mary and Joseph were comfortable? No. Thank you, Bennett. Of course not. They were called to be bold when it came to God's word revealed to them, illuminated to them, called to do hard things they didn't think they were equipped to do. All of them. Sounds kind of familiar, though, doesn't it? But we tend to be illuminated by what we want to hear. It's what our phones do. It's what the so-called news that we listen to or watch or scroll through, it's what it does. Why would anyone only want to hear what they want to hear, want to be illuminated by God's word? I promise you, there are things in God's word in here. There are things in this word that are uncomfortable. And that's okay. Which brings me to the question of the day. So is God's word part of your silo? Really part of your silo? Not just Saturday night or Sunday morning. You see, it is the church where there is still a shared culture. Needs to be a shared culture. A culture of grace, a culture of mercy, a culture of faith, a shared lens like the LCMS lens. Justification by grace through faith on account of Christ. This is the lens that was revealed to Luther. This was the lens that was revealed to the two disciples walking on the road to Emmaus. Against all the learned men, doctrine and orthodoxy of Luther's day, the word stood tall. The word stood tall. And here we are today, inviting heartburn, eating his word, and in a little while, eating and drinking him at his table for the forgiveness of your sins. God, thank you for your burning word. No plop, plop, fizz, fizz needed. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen.